Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Hello and welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. We're a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation, and personal development. Once a week, I invite a guest to join me for a conversation on different topics. Today, I have invited Matthew Gardner to a Zoom recording for our broadcast. Matthew, a warm welcome. Hi to my Torah Radio program.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Matthew Gardner and I, we are both members on the NZCBCIR, the New Zealand Catholic Bishops Committee for Interfaith Relations. The aim of the committee is to further understanding, mutual respect, and dialogue between Catholics and members of other world religions in New Zealand, and to work with people of other faiths for the good of the whole community. Matthew is our NZCBCIR member who is based in Christchurch, and he has recently spent more than 6 months in India, a country with a lot of interfaith experience. And you have told us a little bit about it last week. And Matthew, you and your family, you are still in lockdown now, I understand, in Auckland. Can you tell us the situation now?
Yeah, so sure. So we actually just finished our, we did a 14-day quarantine period organized by the Ministry of Health, which finished yesterday. So as of 12 p.m. yesterday, we've been free agents. So
well, yesterday means
upon the world.
We just have to
clarify. Yesterday was Wednesday because we're recording this the day before it's being
So how does it feel now?
So yeah, it feels wonderful. A bit strange at the same time. So yeah, it's really exciting but daunting actually to be allowed to be able to mix in the big wide world again, because as I said last week, I believe, we've been in lockdown in Mumbai since mid-March, and so it was one of the world's strictest lockdowns. We weren't allowed to leave the house at all for a very long time, and children under 10 weren't allowed out, and anyone under 65 wasn't allowed out. And only recently have you been allowed out to do personal exercise over the last few weeks. So yeah, we really haven't left the house for almost 4 months now. So because we've just done 2 weeks of isolation and we didn't even leave our hotel room, to now be able to just to wander down the street and to stop into a cafe and everything, I mean, it feels really nice, but it's also just, we'll take a bit of adjusting.
You said you couldn't leave the house. Did you have a house or an apartment?
Oh, so it was an apartment, yeah.
So being in an apartment is quite, it's more challenging than living in your house, because in the house you might have a little bit of garden. So you were inside the whole time?
Yeah, we were inside. So there was a courtyard area downstairs, but we really didn't go to it much because, I mean, in apartment buildings you have lots of different people, and we didn't actually have a lift, so we had a narrow stairwell. And, you know, there's different people from different apartments going up and down. And then it was only a small courtyard, so there'd be people from other floors going out to try and do their walk and whatnot. So it's actually quite tricky because you've got one small area and it's shared by the whole building. So just really, we wanted to be extra safe. We were quite worried for the sake of our children, and we hoped to be able to see my wife's parents, who we did see in the end, and we didn't want to, you know, put them at risk. So we were very cautious, and so we really just stayed in our two-bedroom apartment for almost the entire lockdown.
And did you get tested before boarding the plane in India?
No, we didn't get tested before boarding the plane. They just do a basic health check. So they test our temperature and ask us some basic questions. You know, do you have a sore throat, runny nose, whatever, you know, vomiting, diarrhea, those standard questions, which we also got asked every day for the last 14 days in the quarantine. So you don't get tested in India. There's a very large population, particularly in Mumbai, and they don't have the capacity to test. So they only test in India if you have very severe symptoms. It's not possible they don't have the resources just to test anybody who feels a little bit unwell. We got tested twice in New Zealand when we were in our quarantine, once on day 3 and then on day 12. And we came negative for both of those tests. So.
Oh, it's wonderful. Congratulations, because I think last time you also told us that you are the person next to you in the plane was tested positive.
Yeah, that's correct. Well, I don't know if it was the person who sat directly next to me, because for privacy reasons, they won't tell me anything. They just told that I was classified as a close contact. And that's all we know. And I actually know through, again, we have a wee WhatsApp group. There was a few of us sort of became friends online. We were all trying to put the tickets together and stuff. And someone else on that WhatsApp group, who I don't know personally, but they happened to be sitting in the row behind me. I was 34H, they were 35H, and they also got a phone call to say that they were a close contact, but their husband on 35F didn't get the phone call. And so it narrows it down. We don't know how many people they phoned, but there must be a radius of maybe 3 or 4 people that they call. So, yeah. After that, one of us in the family came down with some very minor cold symptoms. So just a blocked nose and feeling a bit lethargic on the first day. And then after that, the nose was a bit blocked for a few days. And so the Ministry of Health, just as a precaution, decided to relocate us. So we were in the Grand Millennium Hotel, and then we actually got relocated to the Jet Park Hotel, which is even stricter COVID isolation unit. Now, they gave us a wee form explaining that they do this as a precaution and saying, look, you may only have very minor symptoms which you probably wouldn't even normally report, but because the nurses ask you the big list of questions every day, we were honest and said, oh yeah, we've got a bit of a blocked nose today, and it hung around for a few days, so they moved us as a precaution. So for the last 4 days of our quarantine, we just had one small room for the four of us,
How big are your children?
So we got almost 3-year-old, so our youngest turns 3 in September, and then a 5-year-old, so.
What did you do with them the whole time? Because you said that you were in lockdown more or less since March. You must have had a lot of creative ideas to keep them busy.
Yeah, so it's quite challenging. So I was working, so I'm self-employed, which is lucky, so I could keep working. So I was doing my best. I was in the bedroom all day and doing my best to work as much as possible. And then my wife, every morning, gave them what she called mummy school. And so we just tried to make a routine, because kids really like routine. So it's hard as well, because with a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old, they're both at very different ed levels. One's wanting to learn reading and writing, and one's wanting to scribble on a page and smash blocks or whatever, you know. But no, my wife did a really good job, and hats off to her, because it's really hard work. So she would give them 2 or 3 hours each morning, and then they'd have some lunch, and we'd have a family lunch every day, which was really nice. And then usually gave them some TV in the afternoon, so they got a lot more TV than they would normally get. And
did they ask you to go outside and to go on the playing ground or something like that?
Oh, yeah, a little bit, because Maria particularly, I mean, they both loved the playground, because before lockdown, there was a few playgrounds quite close to our apartment, and so I would often meet them several times. I would come home from work, because I was working at an office, in a co-working office, actually. I was renting a desk, and so often, sort of 5, 6 o'clock, I would finish, and I'd phone my wife, and they were at the park, so I'd meet them at the park, and we'd have a wee play in the park before we went home. So yeah, they did find it quite hard that they weren't allowed to go to the park. And whenever we mentioned that maybe we were going to go down to the courtyard, they'd get really excited. And we had a little sort of 3-wheeler bike that we'd take down with us. And so they watched TV. And then it was actually hard, because all the shops were closed. There's no shops open in Mumbai. And only sort of fruit and vegetables. Everything else was closed. So we couldn't even get any art supplies or crayons or anything like that. So we literally had nothing for a long time. And it was towards the end of the lockdown that Amazon was allowed. So you could get home delivery from Amazon. So we suddenly stocked up on some colour pencils and crayons and, you know, coloured paper and colouring books and stuff, which was great. But we struggled a little bit. But at the same time, you make do, and the kids adjusted after a few weeks and got used to the routine. And
So how do you feel now being back in New Zealand? Did you feel unsafe in Mumbai?
Very unsafe in Mumbai, yeah. So and everybody that we've spoken to who is in Mumbai feels the same way. Like, there's very high number of cases and they're not testing. So we know they're only testing if you've got severe symptoms. So we know people who have passed away, unfortunately, from COVID. And two of the people that we know who have passed away, they hadn't even left their apartment at all. Like, we know one lady, she was early 60s. In fact, she's the auntie of one of my wife's best friends, and she came down with fever and went to the doctor, and they gave her antibiotics and sent her home. And she seemed to be getting better, so she had recovered from her fever. And then a few days later, suddenly she got really bad. But they took her to like 5 hospitals and there was no space for her. And then so she passed away at home. And then at the morgue, they tested her for COVID. And she had such high rates of COVID that they cremated her body instantly and phoned the family and said, sorry, you can't come and collect the body. So it's really scary. Like,
but where would she have gotten it if she was in her apartment the whole time? Was it at the doctor's?
No, not at the doctor's. So, she went to the doctor. She already had fever, but you get home delivery. So, like, we were very careful with our fruit and vegetables and anything, milk bottles, anything which came, we sprayed with a disinfectant spray. I don't know if we needed to do this or not, but I saw on the news that they recommended it. So we were just being very careful. And I'm sure that this lady was also. But you've got other members of your household have possibly gone out. Maybe they've brought it back and been lucky to not catch it themselves, or maybe they caught it and were asymptomatic. And so that's the scary thing about this disease, is you don't know who has it and who doesn't. We know one girl, our next door neighbour's best friend, and so this girl is 20 and she was hospitalised for about a week and a half with COVID. She luckily recovered. She got tested in hospital. They tested her once. She was positive. And then she started to recover. So they discharged her, but they didn't test her a second time to find out if she was still COVID positive. And so she lived in a family of 9. And so she was sent home. So, I mean, fortunately, they could obviously afford it. They decided that she wouldn't go home. So they rented a wee Airbnb. And her dad moved in with her for another couple of weeks until they were pretty confident that she was clear. But...
And she was lucky to get to the hospital.
She was very lucky. I mean, it was a private hospital as well, but there was room for her. She shared a room, apparently. It was a shared room with someone else who had COVID.
But that tells very clearly that it's not just an age case or that you have to be vulnerable from the first spot, but you can catch the disease also when you are young and fit and healthy, right?
Yeah, no, and it's really surprising because... she was hospitalised, and obviously they live in a joint family in a quite a large, you know, there's 8 or 9 in the house, and the others may have got it, but they didn't need to be hospitalised. So it's interesting that it struck one of the younger members of the family, not the parents who are in their 60s. So it doesn't discriminate, this disease. It's a really scary disease, and just every time we had to leave the house, you know, we just had to pray and be really careful, even going to the ATM, like, because we get home delivery, but you still need cash. So we'd go to the ATM and I would, you know, you have to open the door, it's one of those little booths. And so you open the door, type in your PIN number, then I sterilize my hands, then I walk out, close the door again, sterilize my hands again. And it feels over the top, but honestly, it kept us alive. And the cases are just getting higher every day now in Mumbai. So I can't see an end to this for a very long time. We feel very bad because we've left our family behind. My wife's parents and extended family are there, and there's a sort of guilt thing in our mind that, you know, we've left, like, it's our home as much as New Zealand is our home, but India is also our home. So it's like, yeah, it's very hard to leave friends and family behind in such a situation. But at the same time, we've got our children and want the best for them to be able to go to school and to be safe and healthy as well.
What about your religious life in India? Do they also broadcast mass on TV or Facebook?
Yes, they do. So basically every parish seems to have a YouTube channel or a Facebook something, and And yeah, so there's mass available 24/7, which is great because yeah, you can just, in fact, we don't watch it live because we've found if we watch mass live, it seemed to always go wrong. There'd be some delays, it would pause and freeze up, and so we'd wait until mass is finished and then an hour later watch it because it actually plays on the internet, and the internet's not as good in India as New Zealand, so
even in Mumbai.
Even on mobile, the internet, so, I mean, it really depends on who, like, we had high-speed fibre, and it was really good. Like, I had 100 megabytes a second in our apartment, but maybe the person broadcasting it doesn't. So, because most people just have a cheaper package as well, be fine. So it happens at both ends. But also, there's lots of people watching mass, you know, so I guess that freezes it up as well. Lots of people are all trying to watch the one feed at the same time.
Yeah. Are you looking forward to going back to mass here in New Zealand?
Yeah, no, I am. At the same time, it's like, it's going to be really weird as well. So we've gone to mass every Sunday our whole life. Both my wife and I have been brought up in church-going families. And so, you know, there's very few Sundays I've missed mass in my entire life. And, the first time that I've missed mass for like several weeks in a row has been due to the lockdown. So normally when we travel, even if we're in some strange country of a language we don't know, we still go to mass in that language, you know, and it's nice because you can follow it. It's one of the beauties of the Catholic mass is that, you know, like I've heard it so many times in English. So if it's in German, I'm sure I've never heard it in German, but I'm pretty sure I'll know what the priest is doing and when. So, but that's nice. So, so we will go back to mass, whether or not we'll go on Sunday, I guess we'll see how we're feeling. We'll definitely watch it online, but whether or not we should be cautious just for another week or something before we want to be sensible as well, and we're not just going to go mix with hundreds and hundreds of people instantly. So just in case, there's a small risk, I guess, that
I think it's advisable, because otherwise people say, oh, he's just come back from India, we better go in distance, and then you think they don't like you anymore.
It's a very low chance. We've been tested twice for COVID. We've done 14 days solitary confinement, but you do hear of one of two cases that come out after 2 weeks. So, I mean, it's like, so sure. We've met a few people already. We met some friends for dinner last night at a restaurant, but, I mean, we didn't interact with many people apart from the two people at our table, I guess, but... So, and I'm using that COVID app I've downloaded on my phone. So if I've gone anywhere, I've scanned them.
You're really free to go anywhere now because
we're free to go anywhere. So we've spoken to the Ministry of Health and they said, look, you're 100% free to live a normal life. But if we feel unwell, then they ask us to phone the Ministry of Health and obviously advise them if we get any of those cold or flu symptoms. So we'll do that. We'll play.
How are the other people coping in the hotels? Do you meet any other people? Are they, because we just heard about people escaping the monitored hotels. I wonder if they were desperate. How do you feel about the other people?
Well, I mean, we don't meet anyone in isolation. That's the whole point. There's not an opportunity. I mean, from my perspective, there was no opportunity to escape and there was no opportunity to meet anyone. But I think if you've got the will, there's always a way. And really disgusted by that guy who escaped and really terrible. And he was still waiting for his third day COVID test. So he didn't even know. But at the same time, hats off to him in a way, not in a positive thing, but he's a lot braver than I am, because those security, they're pretty big guys. They've got some pretty big guys, and some of them are Air Force and Army, and they're in like camo gear. And for him to sneak through that fence, he's a very like brazen. I mean, I don't know what got into him, but for him just to go to Countdown, I mean, to come back, it's like, it just seems so bizarre. And you can order online for Countdown at the hotel. Countdown delivers to the hotel. It's like anything you wanted, apart from alcohol. They didn't allow alcohol, and you couldn't get alcohol delivered from Countdown. I actually learned that myself because I didn't know that, and I ordered a bottle of wine and they got confiscated at the door. So, you know, they search anything which comes in, the security searches. So they're even doing that. They go through your groceries. And
oh, my God.
And they said, I'm sorry, sir, you're not allowed your your $10 bottle of wine, which you bought. So anyway, that's fine.
Do you feel like a little bit like Big Brother's watching you all the time?
Not so much. I don't think anyone's watching me, but we did get a phone call. So I got a phone call about 1 hour ago from Ministry of Health, which I assume they'll probably keep doing for the next week. I don't know. So they just wanted to ask how I was. Have we checked out? Have we gone home? Are we feeling well? Remind us that of the phone number we can call and all the stuff. So they're not so much watching us, but at the same time, they are being careful in there. And so we actually met two other people from quarantine now for coffee. So we've all been on 14-day quarantine, and as I said, we had that little WhatsApp group. So a few of us said, oh, look, it'd be really nice to meet in person. And so we just went down to a cafe and we had a coffee. And so it was nice. We all shared a different quarantine experiences. So in fact, one of the girls, I'm very jealous because she had a window which opened in her hotel room. And no one else did. She seemed to be the lucky one. So she had some fresh air. So
you don't have any fresh air?
None, no.
Oh, my God.
Even in the Jet Park Hotel, there was no fresh air in our room. But they let us go out for walks in the car park. Anytime at the Jet Park Hotel, we just have to phone. And they had a family support team. So they phoned us every day and they said, look, we're just phoning all families. We want to know, would you like some fresh air? And you tell them the time they come to your room and they escort us to the car park. And they had some cool games. They played hidden rocks, painted rocks around the garden. And they walk around with you and they get your kids to see if they can find the rocks hidden in the bushes and stuff. And so that was nice. It was actually much better than the Millennium because the Millennium CBD. And so the opportunities for exercise are much less. Like there was a set time of each day and you had to pre-book and it was often booked out and it wasn't so great for kids, you know. But
what happens with people who are traveling on their own? Do they have to be all by themselves in the hotel room for all the time?
Yeah, they do, yeah. Wow. So it's quite hard. So they have, supposedly, we didn't try, but they did say they have mental health support nurses and things available in the hotel. There's some online things which the Ministry of Health has set up. I think some, maybe some yoga classes and some meditation, and there's these different we didn't actually use them because we're in a family of four and it's pretty hard to do some meditation or some, you know, like you've got kids jumping on your back. So we didn't actually utilize the resources, but I think it's more if you're on your own. There is support there. So the Ministry of Health is doing a lot and hats off to them. I think from what we saw, they're doing a really good job. And it's a shame that this guy broke out of quarantine. And we just really have to pray that it hasn't spread now because of this one
One person,
but yeah, and there was a gap in the fence because they were repairing it or something. He must have watched it very carefully, and apparently the security guard saw him and thought he was a contractor.
Okay.
So yeah. Anyway, every system there's always a hole, and that's how people break out of high security prisons. There's always a gap somewhere, but we just really have to pray it doesn't happen again. And And but other than that, hats off to the government. I think they've done a really, really good job.
Yeah. Thank you very much for sharing your story. And you're going back to Christchurch soon.
Yeah, so we fly back on Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah. And when is the school starting? So after the school holiday, your daughter will go to school?
Yeah, so after the school holidays, so I think it's the 20-something of July. I've sort of lost track of the dates here. Maybe the 20th of July is the first day of school for her. So my sister's gone out and bought her a school uniform and everything, got it all ready, because obviously we're going to be a bit rushed in that week. We've actually got to find a house to rent and everything. So we'll be living with my dad for some time once we find somewhere to live and everything. So that's great. So she's excited. She's a bit nervous to make new friends, but she's very social, so she won't have any issues.
And she'll have another 10 days just to be in an extended lockdown. So not kind of lockdown, but kind of self-isolation, because she's not mingling immediately with the other kids, which is also good.
Yeah. So she'll be at home. I mean, she'll see family. Her cousins are itching to see her. So my sister's got kids, and so they'll be waiting at the airport for us. And then we've got another 10 days, and so it's a lot of time, and if one of us got sick, then obviously we would all isolate. But yeah, we're just looking forward to being with her family after so long. So, well, my side of the family at least. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But so what I understand from you from Mumbai, we can be really grateful to be in New Zealand because the government has looked after us.
Really, really grateful to be in New Zealand. Like it's such a bad situation in India, and I know in other parts of the world, the Philippines and America and even the UK, you know, like, well, I've got family in the UK as well, and as you know from Germany, and we've got friends in Spain, and they're still in lockdown, and it's just starting to lift, but then it comes back, and all these things, it's like our economy's obviously taken a hit because we had a very harsh lockdown for 1 month or so in New Zealand, but the economies overseas are really struggling because, like, there's no even domestic economy. You know, like, you can't go out to buy stationery supplies. And, you know, so the stationery shop, how are they going to survive? And that guy's got a family to feed as well, you know. So it's like all these little people are really struggling. So we are struggling in New Zealand, but I think compared to a lot of countries, we've come out very well. So I'm really happy to be home. And
And as you said last time, it's not that you decided to come in late into the country. You just couldn't get a flight.
No, literally, there's been no flights since late February from India to New Zealand. It's not been possible to get home. So we got, the first option for us was the flight we took.
Thank you so much, Matthew, for this insight. And it's good that you can share it here because it's a different story if you hear it from one person of our community than hearing it from big news, national, international news. And thank you for sharing it because it can hit anybody. Anybody can be somewhere in another country and not being able to return and then have to be in self-isolation for a long time and quarantine. So all the best to you and your family.
Thank you so much.
Going back to Christchurch.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, Beate. I've enjoyed it.
And I just want to say a few words about what's coming up at the Spirituality Center. Well, on the 23rd of July, Thursday, 10:30 to 12:30, we'll have Brother Kieran Fenn at the center, and he will talk about the Eucharist in the four Gospels. And on Saturday, the 25th of July, we'll have a speaker or presenter from Christchurch, Sister Kathleen Rushton. He will talk about the presence of the Spirit in the Gospel according to John. And on the 29th of July, Wednesday, from 7 to 9 p.m. in the evening, we'll have an interfaith event at the center, which will be organized in cooperation with members of the Auckland Interfaith Council. And I have to inform you also that, sadly, we are going to close permanently at the end of the month of July. So our programs, they will still run as advertised, but we won't have any more programs after the 31st of July. But we thank you for your support over the many years, and we'll continue with Muffin Talk after the 31st of July. It might have a slightly different format, but we'll still continue being online. Thank you very much, Matthew. All the best, and I wish you a good Friday and a good week ahead. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Beate.